We have been looking at Joash in Judah, and we were discussing that last week. We're going to move through. We had just a little bit to go in talking about him. This week we're going to finish that up in Judah, and then we're going to change our attention to focus back in Israel with Jehoaz, and there's just a little bit said about him. We'll discuss that. And then we'll have another Joash, not to be confused with the one in Judah, but there's a Joash in Israel that we will discuss. And then we'll take a little interlude. We'll talk about a man named Elisha we're very familiar with. The death of Elisha and the events surrounding that. That'll tie back into two guys that we're going to discuss, Joash in Israel and Amaziah in Judah, and tie those two reigns together. So I know a lot of names, a lot of kings. I don't expect everybody to remember every king and be able to put them everywhere, but if we can take away some of the big things from this study, I think it'll be fruitful for us as we continue forward. We'll go back through the kings tonight in just a few minutes, just to kind of rehearse that in our minds. So, if we go back to Joash, we're in 2 Chronicles 24. I encourage everybody to open your Bible up. Let's go there together and look at that text. I'm going to read, this is from the English Standard Version. But we were talking about Joash. Now, as I mentioned last week, really Joash's reign can be divided into two periods. Do you remember what they were? Anybody? Yes, and there's a definite dividing line there. Jehoiada is the high priest. You remember when Joash was young that he was taken into the temple and was hid there for 6 years, and he was under the tutelage of a man named Jehoiada. He's the high priest. Jehoiada was a good man, trying to do what was right. He had a very good influence on Joash, and so Joash's first segment, the one we talked about last week, was a good period for Judah. God restored his blessings on them. They began to restore the temple. That's when they were taking that collection. Remember, they put the box in the temple and people were giving to it. And so we covered that last week. So in this class, we're going to move into the second half. And we mentioned this verse, but just real quickly to get us back in the context. In verse 17, it says, "Now after the death of Jehoiada," so even the king's writer, I'm just following his plan here. He's two segments. He says, this is the second segment. This is after the death of Jehoiada. "The princes of Judah came and paid homage to the king. Then the king listened to them." Did they give him good advice? No, how do we know that? Very next verse, right? "And they abandoned the house of the Lord." They've done all this good work to the house of the temple of God. And after Jehoiada dies, they're just like, well, it's kind of like if, what's the old saying? If the cat's away, the mice will play, right? While the influence of Jehoiada was over the temple, they were about the work. They were doing what they needed to do. I almost think about Nehemiah here. The people had a mind to work when Nehemiah was there. And then as you move on, well, it doesn't end as well. Well, they had a mind to work in the temple. Well, when he died, they abandoned the house of the Lord, the God of their fathers, and served. So not only did they abandon the temple, but what did they do? They went back to the Ashtaroth and the idols. Now, Joash, when he first became king, what did he do? He went in and he wiped out Baal from Israel. From Judah. Great, right? But he did not do what? He didn't remove all of the idolatry of Judah. He focused in on Baal. He did not look at the bigger picture of all of the idolatry, and it's going to come back to harm them. And the wrath, if you go on in verse 18, and the wrath came upon Judah and Jerusalem for this guilt of theirs. God had just started blessing them. And then what did they do? They ran back to their old ways, and then God lifted his blessings. He became wrathful in their because of their sin. Yet, verse 19, what did God continue to do? He sent prophets among them to bring them back to the Lord. These testified against them, but they would not pay attention. Man, there's a clear warning in that for us, isn't there? Listen up. You want to learn something? This is one of those big things I do want us to take away. Is a lesson here from the example. God sends his messengers to us. He sends his message to us over and over again. The question really becomes, do we listen? And far too often, people are unwilling to listen. They would not. Now, we also mentioned again who's reigning in Assyria. So let's go back to our map just for a second. I don't have it up on the board. But you remember, here's Judah. Now, up here is Syria. And, of course, between them is Israel. Now, Israel got the most kind of trouble from Syria because they're next door neighbors. But just a house over is Judah. Well, Syria didn't just bother Israel. They also came against Judah as well. And we'll see that. Syria continues to be that thorn in the side. Now, who's king in Syria at this time? Hazael, right? Hazael is king. Remember the prophecy of Elisha. He said, you're going to be much, much worse. You're going to go in and you're going to rip, you know, fathers away from their home. You're going to kill infants. You're going to do all kinds of terrible things. And it even made Elisha begin to cry because he could see what was going to happen. Well, living true to prophecy, what happens? Well, he begins to harass Judah. At that time, Hazael, king of Syria, went up and fought against Gath and took it. But when Hazael set his face to go up against Jerusalem, Joash, king of Judah, took all the sacred gifts that Jehoshaphat and Jehoram and Ahaziah, his fathers, the kings of Judah, had dedicated to whom? Who did they dedicate them to? To God. He took all those gifts, and what did he do? Yeah, and his own sacred gifts, and all the gold that was found in the treasuries of the house of the Lord and of the king's house, and sent them to Hazael, the king of Syria. So he uses God's money to pay off Hazael to go away. Now, is that going to buy him long-term safety? Try to buy your way out of problems? Might work for a temporary time period. That problem's still there, isn't it? We can ignore a problem in our life. We can push it off, but does it make it go away? No, it doesn't. You got to deal with it. Now, how should he have dealt with it?
Prayer, for one thing.
Yeah. Maybe do a little repenting, a little humility before God, and let God fight his battle against Hazael. Well, he didn't do that. He didn't want to listen to God. Remember what we just said, that God sent his prophets, but they wouldn't listen? Let's go on and read this a little bit more. Then the Spirit of God clothed Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada. Remember that guy, Jehoiada? Jehoiada had a son named Zechariah. I think it's interesting he uses the word clothed there. Don't you think about Galatians 3:27? Anybody think about Galatians 3:27? For as many of you have been baptized into Jesus Christ, have been what? Clothed with Jesus. Right? When we become a Christian, when we're baptized, we clothe ourselves with him. Well, here the Spirit of God has clothed Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada. Now, Jehoiada is a respected man. People love Jehoiada. Now here's his son. And God's going to use his son. Maybe Joash won't listen to to the other prophets, but he knows Jehoiada. He knows Zechariah. He's very familiar with him. He didn't listen to the others, but maybe he'll listen to them. He comes to him, verse 20, says, "Thus says God, why do you break the commandments of God so that you cannot prosper? Because you have forsaken the Lord, he has forsaken you." He brings his message to Joash. And what happens? Verse 22, Joash, the king, did not remember the kindness of Jehoiada, Zechariah's father, had shown him, but killed his son. They stone him in the courtyard. What's Zechariah's crime? Where's his crime? Think about that. It wasn't that they just told him to shut up, to go away. I believe it's 2 Kings tells us that Joash told him to shut up. But they went as far as to stone him to death. Think about the brutality of that. And it's worse than, you know, it would be terrible if somebody came up to you and was trying to help you and told you to make some changes in your life and you slapped them in the face. Right? That's bad, isn't it? That's bad. But maybe you're just doing that in heat in the moment. Maybe later on you regret it. But they were so methodical in seeking vengeance on this man that they took him out in the courtyard. They grabbed him by the arm. They led him out the courtyard. At any point here, they could have stopped and said, "Whoa, what are we doing?" They go and throw him out in the courtyard. Then they all begin to pick up stones, and they stone him to death. I don't know if any of you have seen, I wouldn't recommend it, any of the video from Memphis, what those police officers did. Oh, I did. Whew, don't do it. It's brutal. I mean, I cannot think that somebody, just in my heart of hearts, I cannot see the hatefulness of just sitting there continually beating on somebody to kill them. It just makes no sense to me. Not one person says, "Stop, whoa, what are you doing?" They're throwing those stones at Zechariah. Not one person says, "Hey, wait, what are we doing here? This is Jehoiada's son. This is a man of God." That's not what they do. They stone him to death. Verse 23. What's that now?
It's easier to go along with the crowd and stand up for what's right. Too often he gets caught in some of that too, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't want to have anybody, don't want to be made fun of, you know, I don't want anybody, you know, that kind of thing. Because I think differently than some people do. So maybe we're quiet sometimes and we should speak up when things are going wrong and actions aren't proper either, right?
Yeah, we need to stand up for the innocent. We need to stand up for the truth. You know, that's a convicting question. So, time goes, and maybe Joash and others just kind of let it go and think, well, you know, time's gone. You know, who cares about Zechariah? That's over with. God forget. Does God just let things go? No, he doesn't. I want to keep reading. Sometime later, at the end of the year, the army of the Syrians came up against Joash. They came to Judah, Jerusalem, and destroyed all the princes of the people from among the people and sent their spoils to the king of Damascus. Though the army of the Syrians had come with few men. You know, it's a lot of times we read in Scripture where God takes a few men of the Israelites and he'll go and defeat an army. Now, here's one time when God used another army of a few men to defeat the mass army of those of Judah. Interesting, isn't it? Though the army of the Syrians had come with few men, the Lord delivered into their hand a very great army because Judah had forsaken the Lord. Who's in control of everything? Sometimes we think we're in control. We think our armies are in control. We think our leaders are in control. The thing we forget is God's always in control of everything. Things happen. He's still behind it all. I don't want to say behind every action, but he's still the master of the universe.
If you go back a few chapters and stuff, their history, they had history where God took a small army of Judah and defeated a much bigger oncoming army. And I mean, even King Asa, he got chastised by a prophet, but then one time he trusted God, the next time he turned around and didn't, and sought help from another country. And he said, why'd you give up on me, basically,
Yeah, well, and keep that in mind, because we're going to talk about that with Amaziah in just a minute. A very, very similar incident occurs with Amaziah. So just keep that in mind. Yeah. And God will always win. God will always win. Now, we may not, because of the choices we make to follow God or not, but God will always win, and He always does. So they bring this small army. They defeat because God had given them over. Was it by the power of the Syrians they won that day? They really had nothing to do with it. It was all God bringing punishment upon those of Judah. Because Judah had forsaken the Lord, the God of their fathers, thus they executed judgment on Joash. Does God's judgment always come when we think it's going to? You know, either as a child, do you ever have your parents wait to give you punishment? Isn't that torturous? Don't you? I mean, I can remember thinking, man, I just wish they'd do something. But they calmly wait and wait, and then it comes. Sometimes we can feel like we get away with something. I'm sure Joash thought he got away with it. He didn't get away with it. Verse 25, when they had departed from him, leaving him severely wounded. Be careful. Be careful with how you treat people. Be careful with how you treat people. It wasn't the Syrians that killed Joash. It was his own people. When they had departed from him, the Syrians, leaving him severely wounded, his servants conspired against him because of the blood of the son of Jehoiada the priest and killed him on his bed. How many kings have died on their beds? I think that's interesting. Kind of study to look at. So he died, and they buried him in the city of David. And we've seen this phrase before too, haven't we? But they did not bury him in the tombs of the kings. A lot of statements that kind of envelop his reign. I think that one is one of those that stands out to me. The fact that people had so little respect for him, they didn't bury him with the other kings. They buried him over there, that other place. And so he really dies in dishonor. It says the accounts of his sons and the many, listen to this, oracles. What's an oracle? Anybody know what an oracle is? Yeah, a prophetic message. Of the many oracles against him. How many times did God send him prophets? God kept knocking on that door, kept trying. What does Peter say? God is not short, his hand is not short, that he cannot save, his ear is not long, that he cannot hear. But God is patient, God is long suffering, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. God's desire for Joash was what? Turn. But he just would not. And so Amaziah, his son, reigned in his place. We'll come back to Amaziah in just a little bit, but it's so sad. It was another time when you had a reign that began so well and had begun doing so many good things. But what changed? Who we started listening to changed. I can think about, just loads of examples. I can think of an example, I won't give you the name, but I remember hearing about a young preacher who had started off so well. He was a powerful speaker. He was very eloquent. Eloquent, see, I'm not. But he was very eloquent. He studied. His lessons were great. And then as he got older, he got introduced to some other people. And they began to get in his ear. And he began to listen to them. And they weren't good influences. And he began to move away. And what happened? The end was not great. You always hope for repentance. But our influences, who influences us, is so vitally important. We need to constantly ask ourselves, who are we listening to? Who has our ear? What kind of influences do we have in our life? Our influences determine so much about our actions. And they say a lot about where we are, spiritually speaking. So, you've got not a good situation in Judah. Well, how's it going in Israel? Not much better. Let's go back up there. We got Jehoaz. Now, there's actually not very much written about him at all. If you go to 2 Kings 13, so if you want to flip over 2 Kings 13, we're going to be there for a minute. Let's talk about Jehoaz. So the text tells us in verse 1 that he is the son of Hazael. Who is Hazael? Remember him? What did he get in trouble with? May remember? Is he a good guy? Jehoaz, the son of Jehu, you got Joash, the son of Hazael. He is reigning. This is his 23rd year he's reigning. And then you've got a switch. Jehu has now been removed as king, and his son, Jehoaz, is now king. He's reigning over Israel. He reigned 17 years. So let's talk real quick. And just get us caught back up. Anybody need one of those sheets? Maybe like one? Gary, can you hand these out? If you'll raise your hand. Or Aaron, whoever wants to grab them. Thank you, Aaron. If you'll pass us out. Just raise your hand. He'll come around and give you one. So I love this chart. I think it's the simplest, easy for me, simple-minded, to look at and to break down. So, if we go to the top again, of course, you've got Saul, Ishbosheth, and then David. You can see how the kingdom switched to David. And then you've got the three sons of David. You've got the two who tried to reign, Absalom, Adonijah. And then you've got Solomon, who eventually became king. And then, of course, his son was Rehoboam. However, at the time of Rehoboam, what happened? Well, you have Jeroboam. God gave him 10 of the 12 tribes land. That's what we know as Israel in the green on the map. Whereas Rehoboam reigned over the purple area, Judah. And that's where the kingdom split. Of course, Jeroboam, what did he do? He led Israel into sin. He set up the two calves. He brought in other worship. And so God said, well, I'm going to take the kingdom away from you. He then took it away from his son Nadab and gave it to Baasha. Baasha then sinned as well. He led them into idolatry. God said, I'm going to take it away from you. So his son Elah lost the kingdom of Zimri. What happened? Well, Zimri was pretty bad too. So God said, nope, you can't be king either. So now I'm going to give it to Omri. Why do we know Omri? The house of Omri. Omri, good king? Nope, not a good king. And he had a son who was even worse. His name was Ahab. You know Ahab because he and his wife Jezebel brought what into Israel? Baal worship. She was also, was she a Jew? Nope, she is a Gentile, and she brought Baal worship into Israel. They had a son. They actually had two sons. They had Jehoram and Ahaziah. Neither of them were very good. God said, I'm going to take the kingdom away from you too. And so then he gave it to Jehu. We talked about Jehu. Jehu, a warrior king, did some good stuff at first. He came in. He got rid of the Baal worship. Remember, he killed all those prophets. He tore down the house. He did a lot of good things, but he didn't do everything right, did he? He allowed other idolatry. But God said, you know what? Because you are good, I'm going to give you the. I'm going to allow you to continue to your family to be king up to the, how many generations? Fourth generation. And so that's when you have a succession of kings here. You've got Jehoaz, who we're talking about now. We'll talk about another Joash or Jehoash, same person, Jeroboam II, and Zechariah. None of them great kings. But that's where we are there. On the other side, of course, you've got Rehoboam, then Abijah, and then Asa, pretty good king. His son Jehoshaphat, good king. Had some trouble, but they were pretty good kings. And then you had Jehoram. Now, Jehoram had a wife named Athaliah. Kind of important, but Jehoram had a son, Ahaziah. We just talked about him a couple weeks ago. But he didn't live very long, did he? He was king about a year. King about a year, and then he died. And then, because he did not have an heir, at least not old enough to take the kingship, Athaliah, either his mother's or one of the stepmothers there, she goes through and what's she do? Kills them all, except for one young man. Who is that young man? Well, we just talked about him. Jehoash, right here. Joash, and then of course we just talked about his life, split in two time periods. You've got the time with Jehoiada, high priest, and then you've got the time period after where his reign turned toward the bad. After him, we'll talk about Amaziah, and we'll keep going down. So we'll get us up to where we are. Questions about any of those kings? The reason I go over this is because I know it's hard. I know it's a lot of names. I think this chart is wonderful. A good reference to go back to. Any questions about where we are? All right, so we ain't got into the really crazy stuff yet. We ain't even talked about Manasseh yet. You know, we can get down here where there's three kings all at one time in the south. So we still got some interesting things to cover. All right, let's go back. So we got Jehoaz, and as I mentioned, here's another chart. You can just see here, divided left and right. You've got the kings of Israel here, kings of Judah over here. We are talking about Joaz right here and Joash. Not very good kings. Really, the only king that did some good things was Jehu, if I can get that out. Over here is a little different story. You had some good kings there. Let's move on. All right, so the Bible often will give us a description. Now, again, another important thing. If you can plug this away, I think it would be really good to plug this away in your brain when you're studying the Old Testament. What's the difference between Kings and Chronicles? Anybody tell me? Kings and Chronicles. Just plug this one small fact away. I think it will help you a lot.
Chronicles goes all the way back to the beginning.
Okay. Here's the major difference. Chronicles covers the kings of Judah. It barely mentions the kings of Israel. Kings, however, mention both the kings of Israel and Judah. Plug that away in your brain. I think that's a great tool to just helping you understand the difference between Chronicles. That's why we have two different books. Chronicles gets into deep detail on the kings of Judah. That's why you'll see us a lot when we're talking about kings of Judah. We'll go to Chronicles because often it'll have more detail than the other. All right, plug that away. Chronicles covers who?
Judah.
Kings covers who?
Israel and Judah.
Good job. All right, so we're talking about Israel. So where are we? We're in 2 Kings. So again, we're talking about the northern kingdom. Samaria is the capital there. It says here about Jehoaz, like again, there's not a lot written about him, but a few things, and it's not good. It says, number one, verse 2, he did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. We've seen that phrase over and over again, but it's put there to kind of encapsulize, to summarize the life of that particular king. He followed the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, which he made Israel to sin. He did not depart from them. He made no alterations. He didn't go to the... He never left that evil walk. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, and he gave them continually, where?
To Haziel.
Into the hands of the king of Syria, Haziel, fulfilling what prophecy? Prophecy of Elisha to Haziel. And so Haziel continued to be a thorn in the side of Israel. Even his son Ben-Hadad will continue to be the thorn in the flesh for them. Verse 4, there is one glimpse of something good in his life. Verse 4 says, Jehoaz sought the favor of the Lord, and the Lord listened to him. Even a corrupt king who'd walked in all the ways of Jeroboam, when he began to turn, what did God do? You have a friend in your life who's done you wrong a few times. Is that the first? Okay, I've got 5 minutes. You ever had somebody like that? Now, when that person comes to you, are you real quick to listen to them when they have a favor to ask? Or do we have a tendency to hold that over their head? Yes or no? We do, don't we? And I'm thankful God isn't like us. I'm really thankful. Because if he was like me, this would be, we'd have no hope. But what did God do? Even this king who'd walked in all the ways of Jeroboam, when he began to turn toward God, when he began to seek God's favor, God responded. You know, such a powerful example. I was watching, and I mentioned this maybe a month or so ago, but, who was the guy that died in prison? He was a really bad guy. He was a cannibal.
Jeffrey Dahmer.
Yeah, you know the story about him. There's a preacher in the church, I believe in Oklahoma, a minister of the church, went to that man, taught him the gospel, and he was baptized. Now, I am not going to set judgment over that. That's between him and God. But isn't that an amazing thing? I do know this. If Dahmer was sincere in his repentance, despite the evil he had done, and what he had done was evil, you know, he'll be in heaven one day. It's an amazing thing to consider. There's a long-form interview I've been meaning to watch that somebody did with that minister, and I need to go and watch it. I'd love to hear directly from him.
Yeah, my understanding of that is actually a lady was corresponding with him and taught him the gospel, and the preacher was kind of reluctant to go, but he did.
Yeah, well, okay, so from my understanding, and like I said, I need to go watch the long form, is yes, that's how it started. There was a lady corresponding, but he was the one that eventually taught him the gospel and baptized him. I don't know all the rest of the story. But either way, I mean, it's an amazing thing. Like I said, I want to go and watch that. But here again, the point is that God's grace extends to all who are willing to repent. And so here is this guy. And so God saw the oppression of Israel, verse 4, how the king of Syria, Hazael, oppressed them. Therefore God gave, this is such an interesting phrase, and we won't have time to cover it all today, so we'll pick up. God sent to Israel a savior. What an interesting term. So that they escaped from the hand of the Syrians, and the people of Israel lived in their homes as formerly. Now, what he does not do, the writer of Kings, he does not say who that is exactly. There is a phrase later that might point to who this guy is. And it's going to come from an interesting place. We'll have to cover that when we get there. But plug that away in your head. I'll pull it back to you. But an interesting phrase, God sent them a Savior. You know, a lot of people in our world who are lost in sin, they have no hope. They have made a terrible mess of their lives. Doesn't that describe all of us? Who need to hear about Jesus? God sent them a Savior. We've been given the opportunity to hear the gospel, to have it preached to us. What a sad state of affairs when we hold on to that message and we do not share it. People need to hear that. They need to know Jesus loves them, that Jesus died for them, and that Jesus can save them. God has sent a Savior. Too far too often, unfortunately, his people don't talk enough about him. People need to hear that message. Next week, we'll finish up. I just have just a very little to talk about with him. We'll come back. I want to finish this up here, and we'll go to Nehemiah. All right, we'll be dismissed. We'll assemble back in just a moment for our devotion. Thank you.